Nice to see you here today. I don't know if you're like me. I got up this morning to come to worship, and I said, you know what? I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt. I don't care what the temperature is going to be. Okay? I mean, it's April, what, 12th? I've not done my taxes yet, so we got to hurry, okay? I haven't, though. I'll get it done, though. I'm a real procrastinator when it comes to that. I don't know why you guys didn't need to know that, actually, but life-changing stories. Yeah, that's what I want to talk to you about. Matter of fact, did you ever hear the one about the Amish mother who, with her young daughter, went to a shopping mall? The young girl had never been to a shopping mall, never seen one, and she was enamored. She was really impressed by the two moving doors that were silver. And they would come together. She asked her mother, she said, Mom, what are those two silver walls that come together? And the mother said, oh, sweetheart, you've never seen one of those, but that's called an elevator. And while they were standing there watching, this older gentleman came up, and he was in a wheelchair, and the doors opened, and he got in the elevator, and the door closed, and he disappeared. And the little girl and her mom stood there, and they watched the numbers, you know, change and go up, 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 and then they stopped for a moment, and then they started descending, and they came down, down, down. And as they were standing there, the doors opened, and out walked this really young, hunky-looking guy. And the mother said to her little daughter, said, sweetheart, go get your father. Okay, there's stories like that, all right, that you share just to get a laugh. Okay? Did you ever notice that when Jesus shared stories, they were never about just getting a laugh? Matter of fact, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard a story that changed your life? I mean, have you ever heard a story that literally changed your life, that changed your life or changed your destiny? If you think about it, those of us that accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we heard that story, the story about Jesus, the story about His love, and about His sacrifice. And that story changed our life, changed our destiny. Matter of fact, when I was a kid, and I thought about that this week, I remember, and maybe if you've been around the church, you know, a long time, we don't usually sing these old songs anymore, but do you remember this one? Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell thou the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed His birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Remember that old song? Awesome, awesome old hymn. And then when I was looking that up, I saw this one. I hadn't remembered this one, but it struck a chord in my heart. You know, tell me the old, old story of unseen things above. Did you sing this one? Wasn't that an awesome old song of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love? Tell me the story, simple as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and His love. You see, it was the story of Jesus that changed our life. And if you're here today and you've been changed by that story, I want to celebrate with you, but maybe you've not been changed yet by that story, and maybe it's today is the day that you can be. You see, Jesus told stories. As a matter of fact, He says this in Luke chapter 15, verse 3. He said, then Jesus told them this parable. Jesus loved to tell stories, but he never told stories just to get a laugh. He never told stories just for the sake of a story. He told stories in order to change the lives of people. Now, there's lots of times, you know, that I'll run into somebody and they've been here to church and they'll say, oh, Pastor John, that story you told last week just cracked me up. Or they'll say, you know what, you made me laugh or when you told that story. Or you made me cry when you told that story. Isn't it amazing how we can remember stories so easily while facts and figures and other things are a whole lot more difficult? You know why that is? Because stories engage your emotions. Stories not only engage your mind, but they engage your heart. And it's easy to hear a story and just to identify with that. And when Jesus spoke, he says he told them this parable. Now, just so that you'll have it in your mind, you know what a parable is, right? A parable is an illustration about life that has a spiritual or an eternal meaning. Okay? Jesus was walking along, and what did he do? He said, look at the birds of the air. They don't toil, they don't spin, but your heavenly Father takes care of them. Look at the flowers of the field. Solomon, even in all of his glory. You know what I'm saying? Jesus told stories. He said things like, that faith of a mustard seed. He told stories about the sky. He told stories about trees and about plants. He told stories about treasure that was hidden in a field and somebody found it, sold everything that they had so that they could buy that field and have that treasure. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this kind of thing. Jesus told stories about people and about places. And every time he told a story, every time he told a parable, it wasn't just to make somebody laugh. It wasn't just to tell a story, but he wanted to change someone's life. Now, over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at some life-changing stories. We're going to be looking at some life-changing stories. And here's the thing, folks. They can only be life-changing stories if we allow these stories to shape and to mold us into who God wants us to be. So today I want to start with this story that comes from Matthew chapter 7. We know it as the wise and the foolish builders. Or if you've read this in an old translation, I remember when I was a kid, they talked about how this was the story of how to build your house on the rock. Okay? Maybe we all need to stand up and sing. Remember that old song that you learned when you were a kid or in camp? And it talked about how the rains came down and the floods came. Okay. You know what I'm talking about? That's where this comes from. And this story Jesus told was not just a funny story. It wasn't just an interesting story, but Jesus wanted to change people's lives with this story, and he wants to do the same thing for us today. So let me go through the story, and then we'll make some application to your life and to my life as well. He starts off by saying, therefore. Now, I think I've told you before that anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, you need to find out what it's there for. Okay? Therefore, find out what it's there for. So you have to look at the context. Now, the context of Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27 is what? This is the tail end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Okay? This is the last, it's almost like Jesus has been given this 30-minute sermon, and at the end of the sermon, he says, let me tell you a story. And then he told him this parable. You see, you have to understand the context of the Sermon on the Mount to get the full meaning of what Jesus is talking about here. The Sermon on the Mount is just an amazing passage of Scripture full of so much meat for Christians. Matter of fact, if you look just prior to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, you'll see that Jesus uses three different sets of twos. He talks about two paths. A straight and narrow that leads to life, and a path that's really wide that leads to destruction. And it's almost as if he's saying that, you know what? Most people think that everybody's going to end up in the good place. But in reality, Jesus said very few people find that straight and narrow. And then he talks about two trees. He talks about a good tree that produces good fruit, and he talks about a bad tree that produces bad fruit. Jesus teaches us that a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So we have to make a choice. We have to make sure that our life is a tree that's producing good fruit. Two paths, two trees, and then here, two different foundations. So we need to find out from the context of what Jesus is trying to say here. Look, he says next, he said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. You see, here's the point of this entire parable. It's not enough to hear the parable, but you have to obey the parable. It's not enough to hear the words of Jesus, but you have to apply them to your life. Let me tell you something, folks. There's an awful lot of people. There's some of us here this morning. We come, we assemble like this, and we hear great songs. We hear wonderful teaching. We experience the Spirit of God, and then we leave, and it's only words. You see, it's not enough just to hear. Everybody hears, but very few listen. Very few puts them into practice. And that's what he's saying about the two paths and the two trees and the two foundations. While we have these clear choices before us, it's easy to hear and not to follow through and practice what we hear. He said they're like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Think about it, folks. We think that the most important thing is what we build. Jesus is saying here that it's really important where you build. Right? I mean, you can have the most beautiful, the most expensive, the most dynamic structure that you could ever imagine. But if it's built in the wrong place, what good does it do? You see, we think about what Jesus tells us about where. I don't know if you remember a few years ago when those awful tsunamis and the earthquake hit over in Japan. And, this massive earthquake out in the ocean, and it caused these tsunamis that came ashore and just destroyed a lot of Japan. And when that happened, I remember reading about something called a tsunami stone. Did you ever see this? And supposedly they go around the entire island of Japan, and they're built up on the hill at a certain point, and they've been there for hundreds of years. And on the stone is an inscription that says, "Do not build below this stone." When the tsunami hit, they said that the water raced right up to the base of those stones and then receded back into the ocean. And if people would have heeded that warning from generations before, there wouldn't have been near as much death and carnage and destruction. You see, we're like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It's not just important what we build, but it's where we build as well. Look what it says. And then he says, the rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Matter of fact, if you notice, those words are repeated again, and we'll look at it in just a minute, down at the end of that passage. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew. Storms are inevitable. Therefore, preparation is necessary. I mean, how many times have we heard it? You know, there's a hurricane coming, and somebody says, "You know what, I'm not leaving." But there's a hurricane coming, I'm not leaving. There's a hurricane coming, I'm staying right here. And something tragic happens because people will not heed that warning. The rains will come. The streams will rise, and the winds will blow, and they will beat against your house. But the most important thing is yet it did not fall. See that? Yet it did not fall. Why? Because they had built on the proper foundation. They had built with a solid foundation. They built on the rock rather than on the shifting sand that would not hold when the storms came. So folks, you and I need to know the storms are inevitable. The wind is going to blow. The stream is going to rise. And yet it did not fall because they had built on the solid foundation. That's what he says there. Because, you know, it's so simple, but yet so complex. Because it had built on the foundation of the rock. Okay? And then the three little word that's always the biggest word in the text, but. Okay, there's an example. There's part of the story, but that's not the whole story because there's other people that don't make that same kind of really, really good choice in life. I mean, you would think that everyone would choose correctly. I mean, if people had a choice between the straight and the narrow that leads to life and the broad way that leads to destruction, or the tree that is evil and bad, or you can get bad fruit, or you can have a good tree that produces good fruit, or you can have a foundation that is on the solid rock, or a foundation that's on shifting sand, you would think that the choices are easy to make, but they are not. And then he gives the sad commentary. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. Are you like me? And you read those words and it's like, okay, everyone who hears these words of mine and they don't put them into practice, why wouldn't you put them into practice? I mean, haven't you seen both sides? Haven't you seen what a life of faith can do and can give you and hope that it can bring? I mean, we've all been on the other side and made bad choices and bad decisions, and we've seen where that leads us. Why wouldn't everybody choose that? But he says that they don't. You know why they don't? Because they're foolish. It's easy to be foolish. It's easy to be the foolish man who chooses otherwise to build his house on the sand. Don't know why anybody would do it. Don't know why anybody would choose that. It only leads to bad things and destruction, but yet people do. And even those people, the rains come, the streams rise, the winds blow against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Am I the only person here this morning, right now, that's thinking about the three little pigs? Right? I mean, we all remember that from our childhood, won't we? I mean, you got the pigs, and they choose the different things that they use to construct their house, and the pig chooses bricks and mortar, and the other pig chooses straw, and then the big bad wolf, who has to be the devil. Right? He comes and he blows against the house, and the pit, and of course the straw house falls down, but the brick house stands. You know, that might be a silly little nursery rhyme to all of us, but there's absolutely a beautiful spiritual truth in that little story. So let's allow this story to be a life-changing story. And let me give you some takeaways and some lessons that I think that we could learn. You know, because we need to learn these lessons, right? I mean, if we don't learn the lessons of life, I mean, when Jesus told these stories, when he told these parables, when he said, look at the birds, look at the lilies of the field, you know, and when he told all these different stories, when he told about the son who had squandered everything to go off and to live a terrible life, when he told all these stories, he wanted them to be life-changing stories. But the only way that they can be life-changing stories is if we learn the lessons. And if we apply the principles of what Jesus is trying to teach us here. So let me give you some lessons and some takeaways from this life-changing story. Number one, you got to understand and realize that to build means to obey. That to build means to obey. Because if you build without obedience, you're building for destruction. If you're building without obedience, you're building towards destruction. But if you're building with obedience, obedience to the Word of God, obedient to the commands of Jesus, the precepts of God's Word, if you're building according to the blueprint and the plan that God has given us in His Holy Word, then what we are building will stand the test of time. But if we are not building that way, if we're building without obedience, if we're building based on our understanding of culture and what the culture says is right or wrong or good or bad, you know, if we're just going with the flow of the day in which we live and not taking into consideration what God says is important and why, It may look great on the outside, but eventually it will not stand. Second lesson, saying is not enough. I'm reminded of James chapter 1, where James talks about don't just be hearers only, but be doers. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. It's amazing, all around our community here this morning, there's thousands of people in worship. We're hearing the word of God. All around the world, there's countless numbers of people that are hearing, that are listening, that their ears are receiving good godly teaching, biblical instruction. But how many of us walk out of our places of worship and become doers? How many of us leave this place not just with hearing the word, but with the commitment that we are going to live out that word in our lives? You see, that's the difference between a story and a life-changing story. Because God calls us to not just hear, but to do as well. Here's the third lesson that I take away from this, that, and you know, it just spoke to me. It really asked me to, and I'm asking you to examine your own faith and ask yourself, is my faith just a fair weather faith? You know, is my faith a fair weather faith, or will my faith stand the test of persecution, the test of time, the test of difficulties coming in my life? Several years ago, a friend of mine here invited me to go to the Penn State campus for a football game. And I said, I'd love to. And I went. And I remember it was in late November. They were playing Iowa. It was like 32 and a half degrees. You know, and it was raining. And I remember sitting there, and I'm like soaking wet. And this person in front of me, they had this poncho on, and it was all it was just a giant funnel that funneled all the water right down my neck. And it was like I was wet, I was cold. You know, I don't even remember what the score was. I'm sure you won, but that was beside the point for me. I was just miserable. And I said to my friend who had not only invited me to go, he had gotten my ticket. My ticket was free. And I'm like, dude, I want to leave. He's like, leave? What are you talking about? I said, I'm not that big a fan. Okay? I'm not. You know, everything was wet. Everything was cold. I was miserable. I thought, you know what? I'm going to be getting pneumonia and die by tomorrow morning. And I just wanted to leave. And he was like, well, I'm not leaving. I said, well, I'll wait on you in the car, okay? I just wanted to leave. You know why? Because I was just a fair weather fan. Are you a fair weather fan of God? You know, sometimes I think that's what we are. The word fan is from the word fanatic. Are you a fanatic for God? Or does our being a fan, is it affected by the things that are around us? You know, do I love to go and cheer for God, but if the weather's not quite right, if the air condition maybe isn't working good, or it's not, the heat's not working good in the wintertime, you know, does that say I'm not going? Fair weather fan. You know, I'm not going today. I've heard that guy preach for the last, you know, every week. And, you know, if Don was preaching today, I'd probably go. But I just need a time. I just need a week off from Pastor John. Right? Fair weather fans. We're like that, aren't we? We're just affected by everything about us. And this story, this life-changing story is saying, listen, the weather's going to come. The difficulties are going to be there. The tragedies are going to happen. But is the story going to change your life? Even though the rains come, even though the streams rise, even though the wind blows, are you still going to be faithful? You see, there's some of you here this morning, you're experiencing these storms. I mean, the wind's blowing, the water's coming up around your ankles and around your knees, and you're wondering, oh my goodness, what's going to happen next? And you're being affected. Your faith is being affected by your problems rather than your problems affecting your faith. rather than your faith affecting your problems. You see, folks, are we a fair weather faith? Is our faith a fair weather faith? Or is it constant all the time? And then one other thing just jumps out at me. And it's the understanding and the difference between here rock and sand. I mean, something struck me when I was reading this parable over and over and over again. When Jesus said, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. At first, I thought that the devil was tricking us about where we were building. But there's no trick here. It doesn't say that the sand looked like a solid foundation and that then later on they found out that it wasn't. When you read this parable, when you read this life-changing story, he says, you know what? Some people choose to build on a solid foundation that is rock, and other people choose to build on a slippery foundation that is sand. And that if you build on that foundation, what you're building will fall apart. But if you build on this solid foundation, it will withstand whatever comes up against it. But there's no trickery here. And I think that you would agree with me when I say that, you know what, when I'm building on a slippery slope, when I'm building on a sandy foundation, I know it. I mean, I see what I'm doing. I understand the consequences. I realize the jeopardy that I'm putting myself in and my family in, but yet I do it anyway. We do that all the time. And I think what Jesus is saying is that you can choose to do that. And your story will be a life-changing story, but it will not be a good change. Or we can choose to build on the solid foundation of Christ and have a story that will change our life and change our destiny. Jesus said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like. When thinking about that word, let me tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a man that when he was born, his life was rough. He was the middle son of several children, and his life was difficult because his mother and father did not have the means to give him and his siblings everything they needed, and that made life tough. But also, his mom and dad never gave him what he needed emotionally and spiritually, and did not love him the way that parents should love him. And his life was also difficult because of that. So his life was difficult because of what his parents could not give him materially. And his life was also difficult because his parents could not give him what he needed emotionally and spiritually with love and devotion. So that was the home that he grew up in. And when he became an adult, his life continued to be hard and difficult. It was difficult when he was a child because of what his parents could not and would not give him. It was difficult when he became an adult because of the bad choices that he made. He had a wife. He had three small children. And he found it very difficult to change the pattern of the way that he was raised. So after living much of his life addicted to alcohol and in much of the ways doing the same things to his wife and children that had been done to him, even though he wanted something so very different, he found himself building the same kind of life that had been built for him. He found himself in jail, not because of any awful or egregious sin that he'd committed, but just because of something minor that he had done over and over again. And he said one day while he was sitting in his cell all alone, in despair because of where his life had ended up, he said an old man walked by his cell and pushed a Bible inside his cell. He picked it up. He noticed that it was the Holy Bible. That's what it said on the cover. And he pitched it aside, knowing that it had no answers for him. After some days and weeks and even months later, just one night out of despair, he picked it up. And he opened it. And he began to read. His eyes were drawn to a certain part of the book that was written in red letters. He had no idea what that meant. But they seemed to tell the story of a man named Jesus that he had heard about when he was very young. And he said as he read those red letters and read about what this man had said and what he had taught and what he had wanted for those that cared about him, he said his heart was moved because of this man's story. And all of a sudden, not knowing why or how or what the outcome would be, he found himself through tears and joy, releasing all of his life to the Savior. He forgave the choices that his mom and dad had made that gave him such a difficult start. He asked God to forgive him for the choices that he had made that had derailed his life even worse. And he promised God right there that if he ever got out, that he would make everything right. And he did get out. And he made everything right. He made everything right because of a story that became a life-changing story. And all of us are here today and we're wondering about what we're building and where. And if we just listen to the words of Jesus, if we just listen to these red words, this story can change our story. And we can build something that is lasting. Matter of fact, we can build something that's everlasting. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, may your words be more than ink on a page. May your stories, Lord, do more than spark our interest. May they do more than make us laugh. May they even do more than make us think. But God, certainly may they help us to desire to allow you to change our life. So Father, in the quietness of this moment right now, I just pray for each person here. May we, Lord, not only hear today, but may we obey, may we do. May we leave here, Lord, not just having heard a story, but God, may we leave here today being changed by your story. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand what these beautiful parables are all about. And God, may they not just be interesting, may they be life-changing. May they not just be words from a Galilean, but Father, may they be the teachings of the Savior. And God, may they change us as they've always changed anyone that who by faith gives herself to you. So Lord, I pray that as we sing this wonderful song about your glory, about your majesty, God, may it encourage us to allow your story to intersect with our story and for our story, Lord, to be rewritten and to be built, Lord, on the foundation that is Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.